Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Joining me, Heidi Moore with The Guardian and Derek Thompson with The Atlantic. And I want to give today's show a title, Free the Newspapers, because in the last few weeks, that's been happening a lot. Gannett, owner of USA Today, says it plans to spin off its newspapers. This comes on the heel of Tribune, owner of the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune, doing exactly that. The print publications are now their own standalone company, and they're also dealing with about $350 million in debt. This follows Time Warner sending its print publications like Time and Fortune off on their own, and also off with over $1 billion in debt. So it's been such a busy summer, Heidi. Why are we seeing this sudden flurry of activity?
Well, it's time for journalism to stand on its own. Newspapers for a long time have been subsidized by big moguls like Rupert Murdoch, or if you want to go back, William Randolph Hearst, Joseph Pulitzer. Basically, there's always been a giant cushion of money to support newspapers, and the cushion is gone. And so now newspapers and journalists are going to have to earn their own money, and the moguls aren't there to catch us if we fall.
I would also add that this is a sudden flurry of activity that follows a very unsudden demise of newspapers. In the last decade, we've seen a 47% decline in circulation, a 55% decline in ads. Attention is scarce, and advertising money is scarce. And as our attention is going online and away from paper, it's put the newspapers that rely on their print products in a really difficult position.
If attention is fleeing from print, how are these publications going to be successful?
That's a really good question. We know exactly where the attention is going. Mary Meeker, every single year, she has this amazing slide that she shows that says, here's where our attention is across radio and print and TV and digital and mobile. It's going to digital and mobile.
But so then is there really a future for these print publications?
Well, this is the problem. Our attention is going to digital devices, but our money is not. And so it's very hard to make money by selling news or indeed anything else online unless you're Amazon.
Now, when I say print, though, I mean all these publications, they have an online component. They're trying to figure out how to do it online. Are they just not succeeding, or is there perhaps the chance that they might succeed better by not having this huge corporation behind them that's expecting them to turn profits on a regular basis, that then maybe they'll be able to figure out the sort of journalism that works?
Well, here's the thing. The newspaper business is really the ad business. You can only have as much news as you can raise advertising for. And so print, the benefit of it and why it's taking so long to die out, is that big companies will pay a lot of money for a print ad. They'll pay a lot of money for a video ad. They will not pay a lot for a story that's online on a website.
What the publishers are saying is essentially you're trading print dollars for digital dimes and mobile pennies. So as our attention shifts to sort of smaller and smaller screens and devices, we're getting less and less money for ads. So I think Heidi's exactly right. I think that the future of this business is what you could call sort of advertising plus. Advertising itself is not going to be able to support the kind of journalism that we expect. But, you know, Heidi's company, The Guardian, they rely on a charitable trust. My company, The Atlantic, has a thriving events business. You don't think of trust and events as being inherent to the model of business of news journalism. But there are all sorts of strategies that you can put around the news, around these newspapers that can help support it in the future.
But when you look at some of these companies that have these huge debt levels as well, like Tribune or Time, does it also, I mean, are the cards stacked against them? Or are they coming up with alternative ways? Has someone cracked the nut about how to actually make money when you're print publication online?
I'm a pessimist. I'm a very specific pessimist when it comes to the future of journalism. And I'm a pessimist because I don't think that advertising is going to save us. I think that when you look at the market for mobile advertising, and that's really the fastest growing segment, it is entirely dominated by Google and Facebook. Google, Facebook, Pandora, Twitter, they account for, I think, 66%. It's two-thirds of all mobile display advertising. That is a monopoly, essentially. There is not a lot of room for newspapers and magazines to compete against this clutter of attention. And so I don't think that advertising is the future of news. I think we're going to have to live with the advertising we can get and build business models that support news around advertising.
And here's the complication with that. The other primary way that newspapers and digital media companies get their money is subscriptions, and those aren't supporting us either. Subscriptions and paywalls do not raise enough money to support the hundreds of journalists that you need and the in-depth reporting that makes a media organization prestigious and makes it something that lasts. So ads aren't working. subscriptions aren't working.
I mean,
We're really in a bind.
I just got my renewal for the Wall Street Journal, and it is not inexpensive. So even at that level, this is not providing the resources to have the sort of news that we've come to expect from these publications.
Yeah. I mean, it's darkly ironic. And you'll find that you're paying hundreds of dollars for some publications that are really prestigious, and it's still not enough to keep them going.
What does this mean for the news industry if so many of these companies that really create some of the original reporting that so many others come to rely on or comment on or react to are having difficulty if they can't support the sort of journalism they have? What does it mean for the average consumer, the average American?
I think we should be ready for the fact that the news business might not actually be a business in the future. It might have to be supported by charitable trusts, by rich people.
Like Jeff Bezos coming in and buying
Jeff
the Washington
Post. And so I think that you simply are going to have to rely on people being generous.
And that brings us back full circle. We just got rid of our media moguls, and we need media moguls to keep us alive.
Well, in the little bit of time we have left, what are some of the other stories in the weeks ahead that you're watching, Heidi?
Well, I'm watching SeaWorld. SeaWorld, the home of Shamu and other killer whales, has come under fire for not treating them very well. And animal activists have been criticizing the company for well over 2 years. There was that documentary Blackfish. And now SeaWorld is going to change how it treats those killer whales. And we'll probably find that out in the next few days. What you'll want to look for is whether it's enough.
Derek?
From Shamu to Shazam, I am looking at the future of data pop and music and how predictive analytics are changing the pop music industry. And you look at Shazam, which is one of my favorite apps, one of the most popular apps in the world. Most people think of it as a little pocket dictionary.
Shazam, the one that you hold up, then it can identify whatever you're listening to.
Any song you want to listen to. Right. We, I think of it as just a fun little toy. But the music industry does not think of it as a toy at all, because every single time we hold up Shazam, it creates a little real-time geotag data point that says, ha, someone's curious about this music. And Shazam has actually built a map that the labels look at all the time, which has overlaid it, all the Shazam data, so you can scroll into Brooklyn and see exactly what's popping in every single zip code. And this is changing the future of music. It's making music a lot more democratic, and that's having a really big implication on the kind of songs we listen to and how often we listen to them as well.
Well, Derek Thompson with The Atlantic and Heidi Moore with The Guardian, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
And if there's a story you're looking ahead to that you want us to take a look at, let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Or like Heidi or Derek, who are pros at Twitter, you can find us there too, @moneytalking or me, @CharlieHerman. And of course, check out this program and all of WNYC's podcasts available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.